Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for another look into the future. I know very often when we look into the future, we do it from a scientific or technological perspective, but not always. And so today will be one of those days where the focus will not be science, technology, that kind of thing. You know, I say science, technology, you know, like the robots that are, you know, being made to look and sound, think more and more like human beings. Some of the technology that will be changing the way we cook and how we grow our foods and things like that. We won't go there today. I want to take a look into the future from another perspective, one that I've already begun to take a look at. But I want you to help me with it as we go forward, because it just, you know, while there's no doubt that science, technology need to be considered, we need to be thinking about other things too. For example, when it comes to leadership, because humans, you know, even though we'll have the humanoids, you know, whatever you decide to call them, doing a lot, although we'll have robots doing a lot, cleaning up, cooking, taking care of our parents, you name it, although we'll have the autonomous automobiles driving themselves, driving us, and all of that, we're still going to have human leadership. That's just not going to go away, whether you like it or not. I imagine some of you are thinking, you know what? We might be better off if we had fewer humans leading the charge. Well, we're going to have humans. That's not going away. And I tell you what, though. Fewer and fewer baby boomers and older will be leading the charge. It will be younger people. And so, with the help of Pew Research, we've been taking a look at specifically Generation Z. You know, they've been our focus in this conversation. And we're just asking the question, where are we headed? When you think about so many issues that impact how we live, you know, it's not just about the technology, the science, etc. It is also about who will be able to vote. Who will be able to vote without hindrances. It's also about who will be receiving adequate amounts of educational funding in the schools that they attend, whether we're talking secondary, university, you name it. Who will be able to really make decisions about how businesses are run? Who will be making decisions about taxes, tax law, and whether those laws will be written in such a way as to benefit the wealthiest or to try to benefit well every social class? We have to think about all of that, because all of that is going to have to do with quality of life. When you talk about well-being, the health of each individual emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, how sound we are financially, socially. All of that comes into play. And ladies and gentlemen, you can best believe decision makers are going to have a lot to do with how those results turn out, with the answers to those questions. And since we're going to eventually be in a day, be at a time when Generation Z is going to be leading the charge for a lot of those matters, those issues, let's continue to take a look at where we may be headed. Because again, we're talking about a very, very young group of people, 13 to 21. And so whatever views they hold now may be strengthened as time goes on, may change as time goes on. For some of them, the views may strengthen and their worldviews may strengthen. For others of the same group, worldviews may change. Let's see where they are now. See if we can at least get an idea of where the nation would be headed if Generation Z were actually leading the way right now. That may give us some idea of where we may be heading down the road. Here's the thing. 30% of the members of Generation Z, 29% of millennials approve of the way that Donald Trump is handling his job as president. 30% of Generation Z. That's somewhat surprising to me, but we're going to have, as people have said, we're going to have about 35, in the neighborhood of 38% of the American public who are going to approve of what their candidate is doing no matter what. They're going to approve of that candidate's job. Well, the person they voted for, I should say. They're going to approve of that person no matter about 30, roughly 38% are going to approve no matter what. And it doesn't matter what their age is. Apparently, it doesn't have much to do with age. It has to do with political ideology. Generation X, 38% approve of the job that Donald Trump is doing. 43% of boomers, 54% of the silence approve of Donald Trump's job. Similarly, while majorities in Generation Z and the millennial generation say government should do more to solve problems, rather than that government is doing too many things better to lift businesses and individuals, Generation X's and boomers are more evenly divided on this issue. For their part, most silence would like to see a less activist government. You know, one of the things that's interesting about that, when you start talking about whether government is active or inactive, whether government, and some people, when they start talking about government taking steps to make changes that they don't like, they call government Big Brother. Here's the thing. Have you ever noticed that all of that is relative? Relative in this sense. People who say they want a less active government only want the government to be less active. What they mean when they say that is we don't want the government, federal government, for example, coming up with the Affordable Care Act. We don't want federal government involved in any kind of Medicaid expansion in each of the 50 states across the country. There are people who did not want the federal government weighing in on voting rights, especially as they pertain to peoples of color. They really did not want the federal government involved. States' rights, states' rights, states' rights. Why? Because they realize it's a whole lot easier to get the momentum to swing the way they want it to swing, to get the pendulum to swing in the direction they want it to swing in, if it's a state-by-state situation as opposed to the federal government. A lot of people don't want the courts involved because they claim states' rights. But have you noticed the inconsistency? When the issue is not going the way they want it to go, guess what they do? They take the issue to court, all the way to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, not the state Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. When they want laws to come into play that will help them with their agenda, they make sure that politicians on the federal level know what they want, the politicians on the federal level make sure that their constituents know they're pushing to have things turn out the way they want it to, guess what? They're being activists. As I've said before, it is not a matter of whether the person, whether the politicians, whether government will act or not. Government is going to act. That's why they're there. That's why the politicians are there. They are there to represent. And in order to represent, they have to act. They have to be activists. It's just a matter, the only question comes down to what side of the issue are they going to act out? That's the only question. They're going to act. And so to say that, you know, they want less government, there is always going to be much government. You'll have much government making it harder and harder for this group to receive fair wages. Or you'll have another part of government trying to work hard to see that people are paid fair wages. They're both acting. And you can best believe whoever wins will have a mighty impact on the folks on the receiving end of their law. And so, you know, when we talk about less government, let's be real. There's really no such thing as less government. The politicians are always governing. That's what they do. That's why they're there. That's why they were elected. They were not elected to not govern. They were elected to govern as much as they possibly can. The whole issue is just to make sure that as they govern, they push as much as they can along the lines of their constituents as possible. Whoever they are, whether we're talking Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, other independents, whether we're talking moderates, liberals, conservatives, neoconservatives, everyone is there for the purpose of acting, for the purpose of governing. And so when you have one group saying, hey, look, we want to make sure that federal scholarships and federal student loans are available for people who want to go to college. And then you have another group saying, we don't want the federal government involved in providing federal student loans or federal scholarships for people who want to go to college. They're both governing and they're both going to have an impact on our lives. It's just a matter of, who wins? The folks who say we want people to go to college, or the folks who say we want people to go to college, we just don't want to help them get there. One group saying we want folks to go to college and we want to help them get there. The other group saying we want folks to go to college too, but we don't want to help them get there. Let them find some other way. Go to the private banks. But the government doesn't need to be in it. Why not? The government is going to benefit, because you think about it again, as I've said before, the government receives its monies from we the people, the taxpayers. We send our taxes. That is their source of revenue, literally. And so if the government is helping people get a good college education so that they can improve their quality of life, getting higher paying jobs, that means they have more money. The people who are working those higher paying jobs have higher wages, which means they have more taxes, more revenues to send to the government so that the government can continue to then turn around, have more money to spend to help the citizens in other ways as well. It would be great for the government to have done what, for example, you know, to have a national rail system that's going from coast to coast, improving transportation for all Americans, while at the exact same time improving the revenues of many state coffers and increasing the checking accounts, savings accounts of many, many workers who would be employed establishing and developing, building that national rail system. So it's not a matter of whether or not there's going to be more or less government. There's always going to be the same amount of government. The only issue is, what decisions will they make? Who's going to win? The folks who say we don't want the rail system, along with the great pay that people will be getting, along with the state revenue increases that will come with it, along with the improved transportation system that will be a part of that mix. The folks who say we don't want that, so we're going to block it, or the folks who say, yeah, we agree with that, we're going to help make it happen. And if it happens, the nation benefits from all that comes with it. If it does not happen, then the nation does not benefit from what could have been. There really is no such thing as less government. We're still going to have the same number of representatives. We're going to have the same number of senators. We're going to have a White House with its administration, its staff. All of that continues year in and year out, decade after decade, century after century. The only thing that changes is the laws. And the laws are going to always impact the American citizens no matter what. There's no way around that. Whether for good or for bad, the laws are going to impact America's citizens, we the people. The only question is, in what ways will we be impacted by the laws that are passed by those who govern in Washington, in our various states, etc. Back in a few, as we continue to take a look at where we may be headed, if Generation Z, or well, not if, but when Generation Z comes of age.